little over 2 weeks ago, the Washington Post published an article in which they interviewed Rabbi Menachem Gnack regarding the OU's position on meat grown from stem cells. And Lahavdil, they also cited a machlokas amongst Muslims in Indonesia versus Muslims in Pakistan, whether for them the meat is considered acceptable, but without getting into their svaras, which really are of no interest to us. I'd like to begin by looking at the 11-page tshuva that was published by Rav David Lau, Rav HaRashi of Israel, just about a week and a half before this article was published. So he published this tshuva mid-January, 11 pages long. I think it's far more digestible than Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon's 88 pages, which maybe we'll refer to subsequently. But obviously this is becoming a topic of interest with regard to meat, with regard to chicken. Companies are working on producing both from stem cells. And when we visited the stem cell chicken lab in Rehovot a few weeks ago, we were told that the FDA had already issued approval to consider it an acceptable drug. But they, of course, are looking to market it with USDA approval to consider it an acceptable beef product that they're still working on. But the question from a halachic perspective is already quite relevant. There is a frum cell biologist in the lab there who wanted to know if she could taste what she has already grown. And she showed us the test tubes with the finished product. And for her, it's halacha l'mayis already. So if David Lau introduces the Shaila by first mentioning that, I guess, some time ago, the stem cell product started with stem cells taken from either animals that are kosher, animals that are non-kosher, but live animals. So when you're dealing with a stem cell taken from a live animal then used to produce meat, so you deal with concerns of, well, if it's taken from a already living animal, if it's not kosher, the animal, or even if it is kosher, but it's an Eber min Achai, then you deal with issues of Hayotze min HaTame Tame, that which is taken from a treif animal is considered treif. On the other hand, maybe you would argue that it's microscopic, so if it's microscopic, you can't impose an Isser on it. Maybe you might argue that it is not considered royal achila when it's taken in cell form from this animal. They could take it from any part of the animal. It could be taken from the animal's hide or any other inedible part of the animal. Maybe it's not edible. It's not considered Isser achila. It's not considered royal achila. Or maybe you'd argue that the stem cell itself, even if it is from an edible part of the animal, and even if it is also despite its microscopic size, but maybe it's batel in whatever they then grow it in. They put it into some sort of medium, some sort of liquid that's designed to encourage or cultivate the growth into meat specifically. Maybe it's batel b'shishim and many more times over than just shishim. So that, he said, was the original system of stem cell meat and chicken. But he added that the current technology, this is what we were shown as well, is that a stem cell, at least when it comes to making beef, is taken from a fertilized egg, an animal, I guess it's called animal ovum, if that's the correct term. So if you're using cow's cells, so you would take a fertilized cow egg that has not yet been implanted into the mother cow's womb, I guess you'd call it. Forgive me for the terms I use are more human than animal, but for lack of knowledge in animal biology, I'll use the human terms that are familiar to me. So they take these stem cells from a fertilized cow egg that is not yet attached to the mother cow's womb, with the chicken labs that we were showing, that they take the stem cells from a fertilized egg that was laid by the chicken the day that it's laid. They take the fertilized egg, the day that it comes out of the chicken, before it has a chance to grow into a chick of any sort. And the scientists showed us on the yolk of the egg a little almost translucent spot, a little circle that you can see with your eyes that is the sac that contains, I don't know how many multitudes of stem cells. It's sitting on the yellow yolk that's inside the egg. And with the right lighting, you can identify that little white spot on the yolk. You can suction it into a little syringe, and then you can then extract the stem cells from that. So whether it's a chicken egg, whether it's a turkey egg, or whether it's a fertilized egg, microscopic egg that is being soon to be implanted in a cow's womb. So the stem cell is taken from that fertilized egg. It is then put into a medium, a liquid medium that is designed to encourage it to grow, not into bones or into hide or into a hoof, but rather into beef itself. And here again, Rav Lau mentioned that once upon a time they would use a serum, a blood-based liquid, to fertilize to further the growth of the stem cell. Which again leads us to the same questions of, it's growing in a liquid extracted from an animal, that liquid itself is usser, it's growing off of that which is usser. But nowadays, the current technologies, they use completely synthetic-based liquid medium to cultivate the growth and direct the growth of this stem cell. So they're no longer taking it from a living animal. They're no longer taking it from a treif animal. They're taking it from a fertilized egg of a chicken or of a turkey, or in the case of a cow, from the microscopic ovum that is found to have the stem cells in it. And it's being grown, not in blood-based liquid, but in synthetic plant-based liquid medium. And so the question is, what becomes of the halachic status of this stem cell from which the process begins? So, Rav Lau, in his tshuva, writes, even if one were to assume that there is an isser on a fertilized egg taken from the cow, which is where they get the egg from, he actually compares it, fascinating parallel, to a gemara we recently had in Daf Yomi in Maseches Nedarim, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. And the gemara there discusses if one has onions. Amazing how he draws these comparisons. If one had onions, the Gemara says, onions which one already took miser from, and one then takes the onions and replants them in the ground. So the Gemara says, when the onions then grow again, misaseres lefi kula, you take miser not based on the size of the additional growth that has grown since you replanted the onions in the ground, but you take miser based on the entire quantity of onions that you have, meaning even the onion that was once there before, that was already misered properly, that is subject to miseros yet again. Why is that? Why do you look at the onion as if it's an entirely new onion for purposes of miser? You don't just view the new growth as that which you're taking miser from, but you actually take into account the previously existing onion before it was replanted for purposes of assessing the amount of mice you need to take. So he cites the Chazon Ish in Taros Siman Aleph, who says the following. Chazon Ish says that the reason for this halacha is that we don't view the pre-existing onion as if it's still here. Because once you've replanted it, it is as if the pre-existing onion has been halachically, essentially, broken down and reconstructed. It's not that you have the old onion plus an additional half an onion or more of size, but when you replant it and now grows anew, it's as if the pre-existing onion has been deconstructed halachically. It's been reconstructed now in the subsequent growth process, and it's an entirely new onion that is not halachically viewed as having pre-existed prior to your planting of it. And so he argues that taking a stem cell, therefore, from an existing egg, ovum or chicken egg, and you take that stem cell and you essentially replant it. What do? You extract it from its previous connections and associations. You put it into some sort of synthetic plant-based liquid medium, and you then cultivate a new growth. So he argues that you don't view it as having any more association halakhically to its previous, call it hosts or call it connections. It's been severed from its previous identity. It's been reconstructed. And now it's an entirely new, independent, halachic existence. Fascinating parallel. It's amazing how you can take a Gemara in the Dharma that deals with Trumas and Maestros and apply it to high-tech stem cell meat or chicken. Not the first thing that comes to mind when you see that Gemara, presumably for most of us, but remarkable parallel. So he argues that regardless of what you assume the status of this egg or fertilized ovum is, but the fact that the stem cell was taken off of it and replanted, so to speak, in this liquid medium, it's a new halachic identity, completely severed from its previous halachic identity. So that's his opening salvo, if you will, of how to view this stem cell, which serves as the basis for the meat or the chicken that you're going to then produce in the lab. But aside from that, he then ventures into a discussion of, but what is the halachic status of the fertilized ovum itself? Now, even leaving aside for the moment the argument that you've disassociated and disconnected the stem cell from its previous fertilized ovum that you've taken it from, but what is the status of that fertilized ovum to begin with? If when we're so inclined to consume it in its raw state, extracting that fertilized ovum from the womb of the cow and seeking to digest it, consume it, what would the halacha say about that? So in a brief minute or so, he turns our attention to a Gemara in Bechoros on Daf Zayin Amid Beis. And he's looking to argue that this fertilized ovum, if it's taken out of the animal, so aside from the fact that it is microscopic perhaps, aside from the fact that it is not considered royal achila, all of which would be arguments independently to allow the consumption of such an item, but he argues that it never attained the status of the host mother cow halachically to begin with in its state as a newly fertilized ovum. That's what he's arguing on the basis of a Gemara in Bechoros, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, which speaks of the Chalei D'Yachmursa, which is the zera of an ayol, of an animal that is taken out of the nekeva in a somewhat solidified state. And the Gemara concludes in Bechoros Daf Zayin that is permissible for consumption. We'll have to continue to explain what the parallel is to our case at hand as shown in a future shiur.